Our first reading is Joel, chapter 2, verses 23 to 32, and it can be found in the Church Bibles on page 913. Be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. The day of the Lord. And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance. As the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading is from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, and we found a church Bible on page 1052. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident in their righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. It's really lovely to be with you again this morning, and to see some familiar faces. And to those of you that perhaps don't know me, my name is Nikki, and I'm studying to be a licensed lay minister at St. Melitus College in London. I'm in my third year now. It's lovely to be invited back. I've spoken here a couple of times before. It's quite affirming that you asked me back again, so thank you for that. And our passage in Luke that we've just heard this morning, we hear Jesus in fine storytelling form. Imagine the scene. People are gathering around Jesus. The disciples love to hear his stories. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to have been there? Jesus must have been the most amazing storyteller. Also, other followers, others who are interested in hearing Jesus. Oh, he's got a story for us. And perhaps hanging around a little bit at the back, a little bit separated, the Pharisees. They are the separated ones. That's what their name means. They're set apart by their piety, by their adherence to detailed written law. But they would have been there as well. And everybody gathers round as Jesus starts telling his story. Have you heard the one about the tax collector and the Pharisee who go to pray in the temple? And you can imagine the disciples sort of nudging each other and saying, oh, he's going to have another go at the Pharisees. Because we know that Jesus did have digs at the Pharisees. They were always following him. They were trying to catch Jesus out. They appeared haughty, a bit self-righteous. And Jesus clearly detested their religious pretense. But they equally hate Jesus. But at the moment, they're too afraid to touch him. Perhaps they go a little red as they hear the title of Jesus' story. Oh, he's going to have another go at us. And Jesus describes the Pharisee, whose custom it was to stand in the middle of the temple when they prayed. And the Pharisee's prayer starts like a prayer of thanksgiving. I thank you, God. But what is he thanking God for? Thank you that I am so marvellous, basically the Pharisee says. God doesn't really get a mention. It's all about the Pharisee, about his fasting twice a week, although legally he only needed to fast once a week. His tithing, well, again, perhaps he took that to extreme. They tithed a tenth. Pharisees gave a tenth to the poor. Perhaps it was even if somebody on Friday gave me a bunch of parsley out of their garden. If I was a Pharisee, I'd carefully tithe a tenth of that. He probably took it to the nth degree. And he's comparing himself favourably with others. He's literally saying, I thank you that I'm not like other people. The disciples are probably thinking, yeah, we get this story. The Pharisee's clearly boasting, not praying. Well, and then Jesus is going to talk about the tax collector. Well, we know all about them. He certainly needs to pray. And in his prayer, the tax collector in Jesus' description clearly demonstrates his utter unworthiness. He can't raise his eyes. He's standing in the corner rather than in the centre, like the Pharisee. He can't even raise his eyes. He's not worthy of anything. He's just focused on his own sinfulness. And the disciples are thinking, well, yeah, get that. Tax collectors, lowest of the low. They'd squeeze money from his own brother. But then Jesus kind of comes in with the punchline. I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, the Pharisee, went home justified before God. The disciples must have been thinking, what, the tax collector goes home named as righteous by God? The tax collector gets the pat on the head. God prefers him to the Pharisee. Hang on. At least the Pharisee, in his daily life, is trying to do the right thing. He's thanking God in a way. he's tithing. And Jesus, you're always telling us that we should look after the poor because that's what the tithe was given to. This tax collector whining in the corner of the temple, really? And it would have been a shock for the Pharisees as well. Yes, they were used to Jesus having a dig at them. But in particular, it's the language that Jesus uses. This story only appears in Luke, none of the other gospel accounts. And it's the only time that Jesus uses that word, justified. The tax collector was justified. It's a legal status. It's a judicial verdict in God's courtroom. God, the righteous judge, declares the person not guilty and righteous, righteous with God. Now, I was keen to have the Old Testament reading included this morning because it's Bible Sunday. And this theme of God as the righteous judge spans through the Bible. And in Joel's prophecy this morning, he is talking to the Israelites who've been brought low through their pride and their self-sufficiency. It's a metaphor, it's a picture, the famine brought on by the locusts that will be relieved by the autumn and spring rains, that God will bring the harvest, relieve the famine. Joel is calling the Israelites to repent in desperation and shame, and says that God will restore his relationship with a humble people. He will judge them righteous in his sight once more. And of course, that's what the Pharisees are steeped in. They are working towards God's people being justified, but they are doing it by following the law very strictly. They would have been as shocked as the disciples by Jesus' punchline that it's the tax collector that is justified. And the problem, really, in looking at this story is that we're not shocked. We think, yes, we know Jesus spent a lot of time with tax collectors and prostitutes and people who were on the fringes of society. And obviously, this is a story about the Pharisee who is self-righteous, he was a hypocrite, and the moral of it is to be humble. But actually, we should be, if not shocked, at least left very uncomfortable. Because why does Jesus tell this story? Well, Luke tells us, this is the Revised Standard Version, just because I think it perhaps brings it home a little more. Luke says, Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. You see, self-righteousness is a huge barrier to having more of God in our lives. If we're the sort of people who look down on others, we're never really going to be able to enjoy all that God has for us. We will not be seen as righteous in God's sight. And of course, we all are. Well, I know I am. Quick to judge, rather impatient. The other week I went to pick up a friend's medication from the pharmacy, and having stood for 20 minutes in the queue, I'm having to literally hold myself back from leaping over the counter and going, there must be a better way of doing this. Now, I might have just been judging the system that was ineffective, but I'm probably judging the people as, oh, for goodness sake, can't they organise themselves any better than this? I regard myself as morally superior to quite a lot of people. People who prefer, I don't know, T20 cricket to test matches. People who prefer milk chocolate, whereas I like plain. People who perhaps can't sort their recycling effectively. I don't know. People who smoke. People who vote for Donald Trump. People in prison. I use that example because actually I had the opportunity to go and shadow the chaplaincy team at Chelmsford Prison a couple of weeks ago. When I thought of that example, I didn't quite realise how high-profile Chelmsford Prison was going to be in the news at the moment. But anyway, I have to say my lasting impression of that was the absolute respect that the prisoners showed for the chaplaincy team. But as I left, was there not a little bit of me that thought, thank goodness I'm not there. Thank goodness I'm not made those choices. I'm not like those people. Of course, as Christians, we're great at judging each other. We look contemptuously at the happy, clappy church that doesn't really understand suffering and sin, or the very traditional church that appears irrelevant to modern society. Or we look with contempt at the church that does or doesn't accept women priests or indeed women archbishops. And as society, we're full of divisions. We're great at giving whole groups a name, a label that implies contempt. Some of the ones that you hear at the moment. People who live on benefits. Immigrants. Gen Z, snowflake generation, baby boomers, the rich. There's judgment implied in all of those labels. And of course, as soon as we judge others, we are like the Pharisee. And we lose the sight of the meaning of the parable, because I think it's much deeper than righteous versus sinner or self-righteous versus humble. Whenever we draw lines between ourselves and others, God is always on the other side. Because Jesus is reminding his audience that God alone can judge the human heart. God alone is the true judge. And that's the message that should still shock us or make us feel uncomfortable today. You see, the Pharisee was righteous about his own actions and regards others with contempt. He trusts in himself. But the tax collector makes no claim to righteousness. He's stolen, he's cheated. He hardly dares approach God, but he throws himself on God's mercy. Even though he has no merit, he's desperate, he's overwhelmed, he's too aware of his own need to compare himself with others. When you heard the passage from Joel, I didn't just include it because it's Bible Sunday, but also because it was probably quite familiar to us. You might be thinking, well, where have I heard that before? Peter references Joel's prophecy about God sending his spirit on the people at Pentecost. You know, when Peter comes out and they're so full of the Spirit, people think they're drunk in Acts 2. And Peter goes, no, we're not drunk. This is the fulfilling of the prophecy in Joel. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. This is this picture of God sending his Spirit, that people may come to God in true penitence and be judged as righteous or justified. And it's through Jesus' death that we can approach God when we are truly repentant. Because of who else, apart from the one mention of Jesus, of justification, who else talks about justification a great deal in the New Testament? Well, it's Paul, the ex-Pharisee, whose main theme is, again, God the true judge. He talks about it endlessly in Romans, but even today the New Testament reading that's set is from his second letter to Timothy. And in chapter 4, Paul is looking back at his life, saying, I've fought the good fight, I've run the race of life, and now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me. We might feel uncomfortable, and we should, thinking about Jesus as judge and God as judge. But when we begin to judge others, that is where we are drawing the line. And we are turning from God. If you think you're a good person, well, who are you comparing yourself to? Who are you judging as less than you? And of course, When we compare ourselves to Jesus, we are all sinners. A few good works doesn't make us righteous. Each week we confess our sins in church. We've done it this morning and prayed for God's forgiveness. But we should be doing it on a daily basis, whenever we need to. We need to humble ourselves and ask afresh for God's mercy, that the barriers between us and God are broken down, and we can get more and more of Him in our lives. At the end of the story, Jesus kind of gives us the meaning of the story. He doesn't always, sometimes he leaves you hanging, but he says, "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." So like the tax collector and the Pharisee who went to the temple to pray, we have come this morning to meet with God and to pray. And when we leave this place, will we be like the Pharisee, unchanged? Or are we like the tax collector, understanding a little more that we are dependent on God's mercy? And when this happens, we forget, if only for a moment, our human constructed divisions and stand before God aware only of our own need. Then we too are justified by the God of Jesus, and invited to return to our homes in mercy, grace, and gratitude.